It's a time to celebrate. We come to hear the Word of God, but not only to hear the Word of God, but we come here to allow the Word of God to change us. Amen? I want you to wave to somebody this morning, or just go out there and give them a big high five. We welcome our Honourable Member for Kennedy, Mr. Kata, is with us this morning, and we welcome you. Good to see you, mate. if you're visiting us this morning, we want to say welcome. Please raise your hand so that we can praise the Lord. Give him a nice one. Come on, this is not a Living Light welcome. What's wrong with you guys? Yeah. Amen, amen. That's it. And we welcome you, and we welcome those who are watching this morning. We have a family watching right in Pakistan right now. There's a little village in Pakistan. There's a family of three. There's two daughters and a mother, and they actually pastor a church. They're not ordained pastors, but they are pastoring a village church in the midst of the Muslim nation. So they're being persecuted. They need help. They're always needing our prayers, and I continue to say pray for them. They're watching right now on their little village in Pakistan. So we welcome you, Anjay and his family, and their family, yes, all the daughters. It's amazing. She preaches. They've sent me a message requesting that they needed a fan because it's really hot in summer in that little room that they have fellowship in. And they need actually a little cooler, water cooler, that they can put some ice and some water. Just some real fundamental, general things that they need. And they, now they need some chairs. So we will stand with them. I said to them, we are committed to supporting you, praying with you, but not only praying, but we're going to support you with providing those. They need 10 Bibles. So if you got Bibles that are in the house that you need to, you don't need, please bring them to me, and then we can send them to Angie and their family. She's amazing. She's on fire for God. She's preaching in their language, and her daughter's preaching, and she's translating to the little group of women that is out. They're on fire for God. Hallelujah. And we have it really easy in this country. That's why I've been on the case of speaking truth. Amen. And I went to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning because I was pacing up and down saying, Holy Ghost, what do you want me to speak on? And the Holy Spirit says, I haven't finished with you on the path of truth. So you shall hear the truth, or you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Part 7. You think it's safe to come to church? Well, you're going to get it. Hallelujah. But you're going to get it with love, with grace, with all those wonderful things put together so that the Word of God can affect your life and create change in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Papa God, we worship you and we honor you in truth and in spirit, Father. That our worship before you is true before man, but most of all, Father, true before you. Because you said, those who worship me shall worship me in truth and in spirit. And Father, we are spirit people. We deal with spiritual things, O God. We are from another city, O God, another country called heaven. The kingdom of God. We belong to a kingdom that you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Hallelujah. But your throne, O God, is in Jerusalem. The throne of King David, O God, shall be your throne when your feet hit the Mount of Olives, O God. On that place, you will establish your kingdom and your kingdom will reign forever and ever. Your kingdom will destroy every kingdom that is established by man, every government, every city, every country. Your kingdom will last forever. Hallelujah. And Father, we are your people. We are the people of this kingdom. And we come before you, Lord, to worship you in that spirit of God, the spirit of truth. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. I pray that you always do hide me from the people of God, that they hear your voice, nothing else but your voice. Hallelujah. And we shall all know the truth, and the truth shall set us free, Father God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. I feel a powerful anointing right now. I believe that you've already inside this place, that you're going to receive truth. Last Sunday, there was a passion and a burden for our children. And I think if you were in Sunday last week, you probably got a bit of shock because I was a bit, there was a righteous anger inside of me about what our children are facing in this season and time. We send our children to school to be brainwashed by how they should think. I didn't send my children to school to be brainwashed. I send my kids to school so that they can learn maths and English and get a job, get a life, and become good at what they're doing with their hands. That's why I send my kids to school. Not for anybody, no teacher, no principal, or nobody to tell my kids that that's how they should think. That's the burden that was on me, and that's why I prayed and anointed the kids, because we send them into the den of wolves every morning. And I pray that you parents do not take this for granted one bit. You are responsible for your children. This church is responsible for these children, because they are the next generation. If the Lord tarries and the church continues, those are the children that will take this church on forward. Yes. So do not for one minute take for granted that everything is okay. I challenge the parents to bring the children to youth. Drive your children to youth. Get their pads, their iPads, and then their tablets and whatever thing that you bought for them, get it off them and bring them to youth. Amen. So that they can learn the Word of God. Amen. And understand the truth, that the truth will carry them through this time and crisis that we are living in right now. Yeah. You and I have never lived in a crisis like that ever before. Those who have gone before us have done that. This is our time. That's why we must take God's Word and God's principles very seriously. Amen. And the season and time that we're living in now. I challenge you parents, take your kids, drag them kicking and screaming. Bring them to youth. Yeah. Friday night is not for them to sit down and watch Home and Away or watch anything that they're going to watch. You parents, you are responsible for your children. You bring them to youth so that the pastors can speak into their lives and put them in a place where they can learn from the Word of God. That's why the church don't walk in truth, because we take things like this for granted. Ooh, that wasn't my message. That was just a little challenge for you parents. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I'm passionate about our children. I'm passionate about what God is doing for this church. I said, we are not just some nice little church on the corner that you can come and, oh yeah, I belong to that. We are not a nice church. We are a church that walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we will offend people by speaking truth. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to speak truth and not to be cowering on the corner and submitting and succumbing to everything that everybody's throwing at you right now. Hallelujah. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I am continuing to learn from experience that it is unwise to simply trust people who they say they are, or even who they think they are. Hello, somebody. We must become more discreet, discerning, and skeptical even. Hallelujah. We are in a spiritual war, and not all people have authentic faith. Hello, somebody. Yes. Not all Christians are Christians. Are you listening to me? Yes. Not all Christians are Christians. They're Christians by name only. But this is what God doesn't want you to be, just a name Christian. Yes. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, and we may be delivered from the unreasonable and the wicked man, for not all have what? Faith. Many people are unknowingly playing for the other team. Hello, somebody. Check yourself. Are you playing for the team of God? Or are you playing for the other team? I have a funny story about that team playing. But I'll tell it to you, probably tell you at the end of this, because I'm really getting to the Word of God right now. Therefore, Jesus is showing us that it is not unloving to be cautious in trusting others. I don't want to trust you if I don't see the fruits of the Spirit in your life. You may say, why isn't the pastor talking to me? I don't trust you. Because whatever comes out of your mouth, if it's not true, then I will not trust you. I will not allow you to serve in this church if I don't trust you and I don't see the fruits of the Spirit in your life. That's being honest and truth and straightforward with you. That's why Jesus said, be cautious of these people. He says, you shall know them by their fruits. Not even Jesus trusted himself to all people and passed many people upright. They are those that he knew wanted help, and they are those that had ulterior motives. People with ulterior motives will drain you out. If you're feeling drained out by one person, stop and think, why are they doing that to you? Some people use the goodness and your wonderful Christian grace to take advantage of you. Do you know that? Yes. Hallelujah. Not even Jesus trusted them. John chapter 2, verse 23 to 24. It says, "And when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name. And when they saw the signs which he did," but Jesus, listen to him, "Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of men, for he knew what was in a man." That's why you don't allow your friends to tell you who you are. You don't allow your teacher to tell you who you are. I said to you before, if your teacher calls you a C student, she's probably a C teacher. The only truth that you should get is from the Word of God and what God says about you. My mom used to curse me. She will find the worst possible job that she can think of and said, "This is what you're going to be doing when you grow up." When she gets angry, my mom, when she gets angry, she finds every kind of curse to throw at me. Praise God for her. She's given her heart to Jesus. Amen. And she's going to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. But it took a while. It took me to come to Christ first to change my family. And my mom will find the worst possible job. And the worst possible job when I was growing up is those people that move the toilet latrine pans. You know, the old days when they used to, you just go in there and there's a pan and that's it. And then the truck turns up and, you know, my mom said, "That's what you're going to be doing, Ben. That's what your parents," listen to me, do not for 1 minute believe your parents for what they say about you. Amen. Believe the Word of God. That's why Jesus asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" Everybody was guessing and got it wrong. Peter says, "I'm going to have a go at this because we're in trouble if you don't get it right." He says, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "That didn't come from you, Peter. That came from my Father in heaven who gave you that revelation about me." That's why your revelation about yourself should come from God and nobody else. I don't care how you were conceived and brought forth. You thank the people that they're looking after you and say, "Thank you very much for looking after me. Now let me go and fulfill what God has called me to do." They are aborting children now. They are aborting babies now. Those babies don't have a say about what they should be doing or what their life is all about or where they came from. Jeremiah 1:5 says, God says, "I knew you before you were born." God created your spirit first, not your parents, not your mother, not your father, not your teacher, not anybody. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus never trusted anybody. Satan, as the majority of people in the world, and the church unknowingly under his influence. The world is not the only place where you can get lies, but also from those who claim to be Christians, who are in church today, who are easily swayed by the lies of the devil. Yes, my friends, pastors will tell you lies. Christians will tell you lies. They all can tell you lies. So be careful. We must exercise prudence, discerning the fruit of the people's lips and actions. And we are to be what? Cautious like snakes, hallelujah, and to be gentle and non-threatening like doves. Ooh, Jesus used those animals because he knows the character of these animals. He said, "Be like a snake, but be like a dove as well." Amen. Hallelujah. A snake is dangerous and the dove is gentle. But be like those two. Hallelujah. Because the snake can sniff you or he can see you from far. Even though it's blind, it can still know where the people are, where the person is, hallelujah, where the food is. Hallelujah. There is enough evil in this world today to get us. Even when we have good discernment, let's not make it easier for the devil. Let's not make it easier for the devil. Let's make it hard for him by walking in truth. We have three great things going on for us. We have our faith, we have the Word of God, and we have the most powerful thing that empowers all that, and that is the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. Hallelujah. After Moses discerned from Mount Sinai, the first step he took was to have the people promise to be faithful to God's word. An oath of complete loyalty. Moses arranged an elaborate ceremony. He built an altar with 12 pillars, one for each tribe, and sacrificed numerous animals. And then the word of God says, and then read the words of the Torah aloud, and waited to see what the reaction of the people would be. Exodus chapter 24, verse 7. The Bible says, and when he took the book of the covenant and he read in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. That's a miracle. They shouted all together, because Moses, after he read that, he waited for a while to see what the people will do. And all Lord's people spoke up and say, we will faithfully do that. If we read this verse in original Hebrew, it's so powerful. The Israelites said it far more interesting. The Hebrew word says, Nahashe vi nishma. That means we will do and we will listen. It's two words together. It's not one. It's two words. I like Hebrew and also like pidgin because it's heavy. Everything comes double time. It doesn't come to you once. It comes in partnering with another word and makes it so strong. Hallelujah. He says, we will do and we will listen. When you read those two word phrase in Hebrew, it perfectly encapsulates a faith person like you and I. Those who call themselves Christians, born again in the Spirit, who have the Spirit of God in them, should walk on this principle, because that is the kingdom principle that you and I are supposed to be walking in. That is what Jesus always straight with his word. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. See, the hearers of the word deceive themselves. It's the doers that walk in truth. If you're just a hearer, you are deceiving yourself. Because the Bible says you will go before a mirror and forget what you look like. Hallelujah. We have a very practical command. It says, do not just listen to the word, but so deceive yourselves. It says, be doers of the word. James urges people to listen to God's word to demonstrate a sincere commitment to the Lord by reacting to what they hear with obedient action. Hallelujah. That is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Remember, he was preaching, and one of the lay women in the background says, blessed are the breast that nursed you. Hallelujah. He goes, no, no, no. Jesus said, no. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. First, the Israelites agreed to obey the laws of the Torah, and only afterwards would they explore it. Hallelujah. We should have total obedience to the word of God and then go and study it and know it. Because Jesus said, when you know the truth, not when you hear the truth. Hearing comes in one ear, goes out the other. When you know it, it means you've studied it, that you've put it into practice, and it's become practical in your life. You know the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. We who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, those who have the Holy Spirit, must follow this principle, because it is kingdom principle. When the word of God is truly abiding in us, it will speak for itself. Hello, somebody. If God is confident of his Spirit, then we too must be confident of the Holy Spirit that he gave us. Amen. I said that last week. John chapter 19, verse 33 to 38. This is the main portion of scripture that I wanted to share this morning. It is so powerful. Oh, I love the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, question, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, I like Jesus. He says, are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you? In other words, did you get that revelation from my father to speak to me like that? Or did some of those Jews tell you that I am the king of the Jews? Pilate answered and says, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus, in verse 36, answered and said, he gave Pilate a quick rundown on the kingdom. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So are you, my friends. You belong to that very kingdom that Jesus is talking about. Pilate therefore said to him, are you king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. And he says, for this cause I was born, hallelujah. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Anyone who is of the truth is my voice. Hello, somebody. Verse 38, Pilate said to him, this is the question, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in this man. Something happened to Pilate. He had a revelation of who Jesus was. But Jesus never answered that question when he said, are you, what is truth? Jesus kept silent. And all of a sudden, could you imagine that in that room, Pilate saw truth, spoke to truth, realized that he was talking to truth. That's why he went outside and he said, I find no fault in this man. But he succumbed to the pressures of man because it was a political more than anything else. He succumbed to the pressures of the people because he was frightened of revolt, that the Jews will revolt against him. And he made a decision that was more a political decision than a spiritual decision. Hallelujah. Pilate asked Jesus this question, what is truth? Jesus never uttered a single word in reply to that question. Why was Jesus silent? And when the same question is asked by men today, we who are so called Christians are so compelled to speak. We like to speak without even listening. There was a point why Jesus didn't speak. I'll tell you why we are so compelled to speak. Because we think that we have at our disposal more truths and right doctrines than Jesus had. We think we are so Bible college graduated that we know the Word of God so much that we can speak every time somebody speaks to us. Jesus didn't have to say anything. Why? He is the truth. And Pilate recognized that. Pilate says, whoa, I'm not dealing with this, a normal person here. He saw truth. He met truth. Can they say that in our lives? Can the world see us and say, these people are true? These people in the church down the corner called Living Light Gospel Church, they're true. They're the true followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you why. Because we think that we have the doctrines, we have the Bible college degrees, and we have all that we can speak when somebody asks us about truth. Why didn't Jesus do the same? At other times, in other encounters, he was absolutely articulate. He could contend and reason with the best religious minds in the world. He could. He's standing there and he's talking. Hallelujah. Because it's the Word. But that moment when Pilate asked him, what is truth? And he kept quiet. Oh, when I read that, something stirred up inside my spirit. Hallelujah. I was pacing up and down that place at 5 o'clock in the morning. I went to bed. Jenna sent me, says, have we got a title for the message? I said, part 7. Don't change. I'm on the same path. I will not change until the Holy Spirit tells me. I'm not going to go looking for the Word of God. I wait for the Spirit to give it to me. And when He gives it to me, I will come and preach it. And if He says, stay on the same path, you will hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it until you get it. Hallelujah. Why didn't Jesus do the same? Yes, Jesus stood mute before Pilate. And here's the powerful principle that the Holy Spirit is teaching us this morning. His silence was not born of lack of truth. Hello, somebody. No, he possessed truth in abundance. He was not silent because he lacked truth. He wasn't silent because he didn't know how to answer that question. He's silent because he's truth. Full of it. Hallelujah. Abundant truth. Because he was truth. If Pilate could see the truth before him in the light and clarity, in its pureness, empowered by the silence, then nothing he might have heard could have saved him. Hallelujah. So we often cannot abide in silence, most of us. Hello, somebody. Why? Because we fear that it could only make it more apparent that the absence of truth is in us. So we have to say something so that people believe, hey, this guy is a Christian. Hey, this guy knows the Word. Hey, this guy is really smart. We have to say something to cover up for the absence of truth in our lives. Hello, somebody. Amen. Jesus was silent because he didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to explain himself to anybody. Amen. I have learned one principle in life, and I've made it my principle, never to answer my critics. They will say things against you. Shut your mouth. Shut up. Our favorite saying in this church, shut up. You know the song, Silence is Golden? That's your favorite song for the week. Go and Google it. Silence is golden, golden. Hallelujah. It's powerful. When you're silent before men, you do something that they will be taking a step back and saying, there's something about these people. You don't have to explain yourself to anybody. You don't owe anybody any explanation if you truly walk in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. It possesses truth in abundance. Can I say this? If you have truth in you, you don't have to try and defend yourself. You don't have to try and justify yourself, because the Word of God and the truth in you will justify itself. The truth is in you, it will be revealed. That is why I truly trust and have confidence in the Holy Spirit to do His work in this church. I am not interested in counseling. If you come to me, see me, you have a problem, I'll say, go and see the Holy Ghost. I am serious with you. Because I didn't want to take the job of a pastor at this place because I don't like counseling. If you can't hear the words of the pastor and the word of God on Sundays, then you are not going to listen to the Holy Ghost. So you got to start learning to listen to the Holy Spirit first. Because I'm just a vessel just like yourself. I have my own problems too. I don't want to deal with yours. I'm being honest with you. You're looking for a good pastor in the church? You found one. I'm your pastor. Hallelujah. Because I trust the power of the Holy Spirit. And every time I give your problem to the Holy Ghost, it does something in your life. I've got people coming back there, cleaning their snot, crying and saying, I'm sorry. Yes, because the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, not me. Because then you think, oh, he's smart, he can deal with your problem. I'm telling you, I don't know your life. The Holy Ghost knows your life. So I go to him first so that he can fix you. Hallelujah. I'm following all of Jesus' principles. And when we do this, pastors and leaders, you'll see the power of God in this church. Not us trying to pretend that we are somebody. I don't want smoke machine and lights and all this stuff and playing rock music. I'm a drummer for Yothu Uni. If I want that, I can go out and get it outside. I don't need it in this church, and I will destroy it if I see it in this church. And I will destroy clickiness and clicky groups. Hallelujah. We need to start putting some truth into perspective inside the church. That's why the people and the world don't respect the church and don't respect pastors, because of the kind of lifestyle we live, double standard lifestyles. Hallelujah. What have you come to hear, John said? Have you come to hear some good news? Well, here's the good news. Repent. Turn around from your wicked ways. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God is here. People who constantly disobey God's laws will always try to use words to justify themselves and try to do things in their own strength. Man, I don't want, I beg God, I said, God, I don't know how to deal with people in the church. I don't want to be a pastor of the church. It's too much. I've seen Pastor Bill tired, and I don't want that job. I'm happy with my comfortable lifestyle. I don't have to do anything for anybody. That's why he says, good, now you go and speak and I'll do the rest. Amen. Hallelujah. If I have Jesus living inside of me by the power of the Holy Spirit, then I have truth in me. Therefore, why would I worry about what you think or what you say about me? Do not answer your critics. Take Jesus' example. Have truth in you and let the power of the Holy Spirit speak for you. You don't have to justify yourself and fight and defend yourself for anything. You don't even have to defend His word. Hallelujah. Amen. He's got His Spirit to do that for you. Amen. You just walk in it. He even answered the question. Jesus may not have spoken to Pilate, but He did speak to us. He even answered the questions for us. And the question that Pilate asked in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Hallelujah. John 14, 6, Emi talk pinizia, ino gat narapela grotigo, you yet you rotigo long papa, ino gat narapela rotigo. That's the pigeon song for John 14, 6. You shall, who? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then no one comes to me except by the power of the Holy Ghost that leads him to me. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of salvation. It's a spirit of grace. It's a spirit of faith. It's a spirit of truth. Hallelujah. If you don't have it, you need it. Because without it, you will preach another gospel. We seek to possess truth, but God seeks to make us truth. If we don't have truth, then we will always put on a performance. Hello, somebody. Life in Christ is not a rehearsal. Listen to me. You children, your life is not a rehearsal. You have one goal at this life. One goal. And you live it the way Christ wants you to live. It is not a rehearsal. You don't have another life. There's the devil life and there's God life. There's nothing in between. You're in between, you belong to the devil. Joshua said, choose for yourself which God you're going to worship. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made the decision for his family, not for his church, not for his friends, not for anybody. He says, just me and my house, my little group of people. We are the ones that are going to worship God. Hallelujah. The story of Elijah, the Tishbite, after God performed the miracles through his prophet, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24, the Bible says, when the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God. Why? And that the word of God, or the word of the Lord from your mouth, is truth. If a widow could say that to Elijah, the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth, then it must be followed by the word of God in someone's mouth that is false. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You didn't hear me. The mouth, the voice is not separate from the word. When you speak, your tongue, your brain, your mouth, your body, your lifestyle must match what you speak. You can't isolate and speak only with your tongue, and your lifestyle doesn't match what you speak. Hallelujah. Your mouth, the voice, is not separate from the word that comes out of it. Everything has to be truth. That includes your action, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you treat people, the way you do things before people. It has to come with what you say. Amen. Truth is important, but without the spirit of truth in us, to animate, then they are as dead as the law written on a stone. A law written on a stone is dead if our life do not have the spirit of God to deal with truth in our lives. Jesus, I didn't come back to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. I brought the spirit of obedience back to the law. That's why you can't take the law out of the church. Then the church becomes what? Lawless. Too much cheap grace. And cheap grace is dangerous for your life. Jesus is the goal and the fulfillment of God's law. So he is the goal and the fulfillment of God's truth. And now we have the spirit of truth living inside of us to bring the word of God alive in us. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, my favorite scripture, 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body because of his spirit who lives in you. Not just life in the physical and the spiritual, but life in truth. What you speak has to have life. That's why people get healed when you speak, because you speak truth. When you bring the word of God before him, he says, I have forgotten all your sins. But he says, but I remember my word. Bring my word back to me so that I can deal with the situation that you're in right now. Remind me of my word, Papa God is saying to you. Read your Bible and bring his word to him, because he will act upon his word. And we are the people in this season and time need to now trust God's word and trust what he says, and hear the news and see the television and all the lies that are perpetrating on television, and assess it with the word of God. Don't believe everything the news reporter is telling you. They're paid to tell you lies. Oh, I'll say it again. They're paid to tell you lies. You go to the word of God and you check what the word of God says about the season and the time that we live in. The book of Revelation is now real before us. It makes a lot of sense now when you read the Revelation book. Before that we read it, we haven't come to that season now. Now we are right in it. Now it makes a lot of sense when you read it, you go, wow, that's what the Bible was saying. Yeah. And in the end, the Bible says, you and I win. Read the end of the book. Hallelujah. Stop reading women's magazines and your favorite sports magazine and watching Home and Away and Neighbors and all that rubbish that they're throwing at you. And then listening, you if you're a news person, I better stop. You know, I'm not afraid of men. I'm not afraid of what you think about me. My life is sold in Christ. I came knowing Christ. I'm in Christ, and I go with Christ. So what you say against me doesn't affect me at all. I'm not going to go in crisis. These people don't like me. You can do that to the devil, but not me. Hallelujah. You cannot like devil. You still with me? Oh, come on. This is the powerful word of God that we are receiving this morning. 3 John chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testify of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear what? That my children walk in truth." This is John saying it, but just listen to what God is saying. God is saying, I am in greater joy when my children walk in truth. Of all things that could be possibly describing our relationship to truth, why did John choose walking? Walking. Read John. Why is it about walking that caused John this great joy? John could have used something more spiritual like prayer or meditating in truth or praying in truth. But he says, no, walk in truth. Something that you and I will just brush aside and say, that's not very spiritual. We need something more spiritual to give us some goosebumps. Goosebump people to make us feel like God is here. God says, simply walk in truth. Just walk. Walking is important. If you don't walk to the toilet, you're going to be in trouble. Hello, somebody. If you don't walk and cook your food, you're going to get hungry and die. Walking is very important. If you don't walk anywhere, you don't get anywhere. That's why John uses a very, very simple word. He says, just, you know, all of us are like powerful prayer warriors, man. We prayed all night and, ooh, hallelujah. Go and walk in truth. I don't care how much you pray. Go and walk in truth. Hallelujah. He used something so ordinary that we give it little or any thought at all. Walking is an unconscious as breathing. And that is what makes it so important to us. Walking is the right word because it suggests nothing lofty or, exalted, nothing fancy. It just brings truth down to everyday aspects of our lives when we simply walk in truth. Walking is part of everything we do, whether we walk to the refrigerator to get some food, like I said before. If you don't walk to the toilet, you're going to be in trouble. Hallelujah. And if you don't, you can walk. We can push you there. And you're still moving, so it's all good. But you've got to move in the truth. Don't sit on truth and just become ears of the word. Go and walk it. Go and make it become alive in your life. Hallelujah. There is no more word more appropriate than walking to describe the conduct of our lives in the kingdom of God. No wonder John used the word walking. And friends, can I say this to you? God himself rejoices to see his children walking in truth. And he grieves when his children, who are so full of knowledge and truth, walking in pretense, in deceit, and in lies. And that's what's happening in the church today. Oh, we know the truth, yeah? Well, you better walk in truth because I don't just want to see you know the truth. I want to see truth in you. That's why Pilate was shocked because he said, there's something about this man. He didn't even speak, but man, I felt something. If your life is like Jesus, don't say anything. Shut up in front of him. No wonder John says, walking. My wife's got a good t-shirt. Shut up and deal with it at the back. Let me tell you a funny story. This is not a funny story. This is my life. See, when I came to Christ, I had a Damascus experience like Paul did. But before I took this pulpit, I had an Isaiah moment with God. God says, bring your mouth and your tongue. He says, angel, bring the calls. Let's put the stop to this right now. Our lives has to now have an Isaiah experience. We've come past the Damascus experience. And many of us live in that area. But most of us need to step up and say, God, bring some hard calls. We need Isaiah experience. I was sharing with a brother. And I said, bro, I will not be on here if I don't have an Isaiah experience. I'll be telling people lies if I'm standing here, pretending to say something that I'm not living. Hallelujah. My wife used to be really straight with me. When before Pastor Bill was the pastor of this church, if I don't come to church, he will ask my wife, where's Ben? And my wife will tell Pastor Bill the truth. He didn't feel like coming to church, so he stayed home. She doesn't lie for me. She goes back and says, I told the pastor true that you didn't feel like going to church. So I said, what did you say that for? Don't lie for nobody. If your husband beat you, come and tell me that my husband beat me. Don't say, oh, my car broke down. There's a fine line between lies and laziness. If you don't come to church and you're lazy, tell me the truth. Because tiredness is self-inflicted anyway. Hello, somebody, you deal with that one. That's free, that one. If we start to walk like this, I promise you, if we start to walk like this and deal with every little truth in our lives when we speak and when we do things, oh, I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit works in holiness and righteousness. And if you have that in your life, man, you are going to be cutting edge in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says express truth in all things. And if we are not expressing it at all, then we are not expressing it at all. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 is the amplified version. And it says, rather, let your lives lovingly express truth in all things. Speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and fold in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things in Him who is the head, even Christ. Hallelujah. Christ means the Messiah, the Anointed One. He says, deal with things truly. Deal with everything truly. Live truly. Hallelujah. All things, that means all things, all inclusive. Why? It is not possible to confine truth to one area of your life. If you're going to speak, then your tongue, your teeth, your breathing, everything has to be true. That has to come with what you're speaking. Bless you, my brother. Have a blessed day. Your tongue, your mouth, we cannot walk life, our lives fragmented, and give some of it to the Holy Spirit and some of it to the devil. Everything has to be sold out to the Holy Spirit. So when you speak, it's truth that's coming out. You can't live fragmented life before God. And one life you deal with it. This is what we worship God. You're the Lord and Savior. He's the Lord because He owns everything. And when He says give and it shall be given back to you, give. Because you call Him Lord, then give. It is not for you to argue about, oh, we don't believe in tithes and offering. It is kingdom principle that He says, if you call me Lord, then I'm the landlord of everything. I own 1,000 kettles on the hill. Everything belongs to me. So you give because you are claiming that He is your Lord and Savior. We worship Him as Savior only, but when it comes to the Lord part, we back off. Where is truth in that? I ask. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand, and a man divided within himself cannot stand. Jesus came upon a man who was sitting beside the pool of Siloam, and he had been crippled for 38 years. And Jesus asked him, he says, if he wanted to be made whole. This word whole means it's a powerful principle. Friends, there are many of us who have been crippled for as long as that crippled man, 38 years, 40 years, 50. I don't know how long you're a Christian, but if you have not made whole in the things of the truth, today is the day. Today is the day to become whole again. Whole in everything that you say and do. Hallelujah. You know, in the days when they used to test silver coins, there's a fake coin that's just the covering, and then there's the real coin that's made from silver. And the way they test these coins to make sure that they have a real one instead of a fake one is they throw the coin on the ground. And if it's a fake coin, it will hit the ground with the big thud, and that's it. But if it's the real coin that's not just counterfeit or colored, but the real inside, outside, everything is silver, when it lands, it just makes this big ring. And you know it's the truth. It's a true coin. My friends, there are so many silver-plated Christians inside the church. Oh, somebody say amen to that. There's so many silver-plated Christians in church. I don't want you in this church. My responsibility is for your life. And I will speak truth to you. I want you not to become a silver-coated Christian. I want you to be the real deal. That's made from inside out. When you fall down on the ground, ping, you can hear it from miles. Hallelujah. That's the real thing. Let's all throw ourselves down and hear if we make a loud thud or we hear a good ring. That's a good test, eh? Hallelujah. If a coin was an imitation silver coated and not silver, it will make a dull thud when it hit the ground. Ooh, hallelujah. King David expressed his own realization about truth as God requires it. In Psalm 51 verse 6, he says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." Ooh, hallelujah. Man, if you're going to learn from King David. That's why God calls him a man after my own heart, because the man was ready to ask for forgiveness every time when he sins. And he wrote a prayer, powerful prayer. When I read that prayer, I wept reading that prayer, because I think of all our lives and where we would end up without the grace and the love of God and the finished work of the cross. Hallelujah. David expressed that long before John did, that God's greatest joy is reserved for his children who walk in truth. Seeing truth as a spirit to be walked in, and not only changes us individually, but changes our whole understanding of what is church. Hello, somebody. When truth is just seen as just something to profess, then church is just a sum of individuals who profess the same thing. That's why you can profess your doctrine and call it truth. But if the truth is inside of you, then all of us are professing lies. That is why we consider a church to be true solely on the basis of the correctness of its doctrines. Be careful. But if the truth is more than words and doctrines, then the church needs to walk in truth in order to be true. If we say our doctrine is real, then walk in it. Walk in the doctrine and leave that doctrine. Because that's kingdom doctrine. It is not AOG, or COC, or KFC, or CIA, or FOG, or whatever you want to call your denomination or your church. This church is only living light, gospel church. The light of truth must shine in this church. There is no denomination or affiliation, whatever. It's just living light, gospel church. And we preach truth. Hallelujah. I'm not interested in affiliating to nobody. I affiliate to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God only. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to close. John chapter 13, I'm closing. I'm real closing now. John chapter 13, verse 35. Anyway, what are you in a hurry to go home for? Aren't you tired of seeing your four corners of your house? And do the same thing every day? This is fellowship. When you come, why are you rushing to go home anyway? There's coffee and tea up there. I want to know you too. I want to fellowship with you. When we finish, everybody's out. Hey, before Pastor talks to us, let's go. And I'm coming out of the office going there, and I said, "Where's everybody?" "Oh, went away." We are going. Let's call a fast again. Listen, my friends, I want to close with this. The world is desperate for love and obsessed with seeking it. Music, literature, on radio, on television, talk shows, soap opera, music. There is endless talk of love. Days of Our Lives, Neighbors. What's the other favorite one they always watch? Home and Away. Ooh. Man, I hate that show with a passion. Housewives. You know, what's the other one? Big Brother. It's getting more vulgar and more violent and more sick and more obscene. The world is in pursuit of love but never finding it. What men call love breaks down and under pressure degenerate into a lying, lifeless duty of lust. Oh, hello, somebody. This is for people who are just having an ungodly relationship. If there's no love in it, I'll tell you what it is. It's just lifeless, lustful living. not based on the principles and the kingdom of God. And that's how the world lives. And you are not supposed to live like that. The Bible tells you, God didn't say to live like that. Hallelujah. Jesus said, and I will pray. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17 says, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. Oh, hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost living inside of us. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. The world cannot receive and the Spirit of truth and the Spirit that the love of God, the true love of God comes from. You know, when I pray shalom over you, do you know the meaning of shalom? Do you know, we just say shalom and think that is it. It's deeper than that. It means nothing is missing in your life. Nothing is broken in your life. Everything has been restored, made whole, well, and complete in the finished work of cross. That's what Jesus, when He prayed peace over Jerusalem, that's what peace means. Peace is not some light word that we use. Oh, peace with you, brother. Peace with you. No. It's solid stuff. When you speak shalom over somebody, you are blessing him. You're saying that everything that this word means is on your life. That's why love is the same. Hallelujah. When we seek apart from the truth, the world forfeits love when it turns away from the truth. What happens within the church? Are we any more likely to find genuine love than those outside of the church when we seek apart from the truth? 2 John chapter 1 verse 3 says, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Verse 3 says, grace, mercy, peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Hallelujah. This is the apostle of love, John was called. He's the man that laid his head on Jesus' chest when they're having the last meal together. He's called the apostle of love. He wrote that, he says. Ooh, hallelujah. John says, is there another way to love? Because if there was, we would have found it already. But we haven't found it. Because it doesn't come from anywhere except from God. We live in fear of truth, and so we structure our marriages and relationships and churches to insulate and protect us from it. Oh, hello, somebody. Amen. Church is like that. You go to any church, it's like that. They insulate and isolate themselves from truth because it's inconvenience to people. Hallelujah. Church family fellowship have evolved into a system for avoiding conflict and exposure and skirting around issues. Oh, hello, somebody say amen to that. I went to churches like that, and I said, Judith, I don't want to go to church anymore. There's no church like this in this country anymore. I came from Papua New Guinea out of the fire of God. Hallelujah. Amen. When I came here, I said, what is wrong with church? Why are people so suspicious of each other? And you don't feel love in any church. I'm being truthful to you. For 10 years, I didn't find a church. Maybe 10 years, maybe more, less. But when I found one, I stayed for 14 years. Amen. 14 years I stayed and grew and built myself in the things of God. I'm not one of those flower pot ones that move around. Pour water here, take it over there, give some sunlight, bring it inside, put some water in, take it out there. No, I grew and bear fruit and put my root down and grew. And the things of God and the principles of God start to operate in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. I was not one of those butterfly Christians flying everywhere. There's a nice flower. Oh, there's another one. If you love going to conferences, be careful what they're preaching to you out there. I don't believe in conferences. They're just clubs for Christians. Hallelujah. I tell you, you either love me or you don't love me. I'm happy with that too. People said, yeah, we want you to come and preach here. I said, you are not going to like me. Because I am not going to preach something that you want me to preach. That's why, it's hard to convince the Holy Spirit when He's already got you on something. You can't change. I tried. Believe me, I tried. God, can I preach something else? Mm-mm. No. When I'm done with it, you stop. Hallelujah. That's why my wife knows me. I'll sit in front of that computer and they'll all go to bed. I'm still sitting there. 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Father, give me a word for the people. And then he says, I haven't changed. Why are you waiting up? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We insulate ourselves from love when we will insulate ourselves from truth, because love causes us to search for truth. Hallelujah. We cut off any intimate contact with God or man. We cry out in desperation for love. We structure church in such a way to avoid real involvement in daily reality of each other's lives. Hello, somebody. Keep it an absolute minimum. I just choose my friends. No, you go and meet somebody now and make friends with him today. Don't keep to your own little group of friends. That's not what the book of Acts Church is all about. That's what the church you used to be was like. Not in this church. You don't keep to your friends. You make new friends inside this church. You find somebody that you have not spoken to or taken out for dinner or coffee and go and do it. Mama Holly said, put some legs into your promise. You do that. It's not just the pastor's job to go and visit people. It's your job. You are part of the kingdom. And you go and you invite somebody to your house. We structured church to have less relationship with anybody. Oh, we finished, we're out the door. Wait for next Sunday. Oh, Sunday, back in the church again. I don't even know who comes to this church anymore. Nobody hangs around and talks to me anymore. Oh, hello, somebody. Leave your roast. It's taken care of. It's on the slow cooker. It's already set. It'll go off by itself. Your machine will go off by itself. Oh, hallelujah. Everything goes off by themselves. You don't have to go, oh, I need to go and turn the machine off. Unless you got one of those cheap old ones that from before that doesn't stop. So you and I don't have any excuse whatsoever. You can't make excuse that, oh, I've got something on the stove or in the oven or in the machine. They're all computerized now. They go, you said it, you go. Let them deal with themselves. You deal with us here. A fellowship. Hello, my brother. We come and we love and hug each other. But is it true love? Is that truth? That we just bless each other in the church and then we go out and that's it? No. Truth is everything. It's everything. Everything we say, everything we do. It's not fragmented and isolated. Everything. Truth will cause us to love one another just as Jesus loved us. John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved for one another. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying truth, through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Love requires a purified soul. If your soul hasn't been purified, then you can't love anybody. Only by obeying the truth by the Spirit and not just the intellect. See, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Love God with that and love each other with that. Not just your emotions and leave the other three out. They all come together. To find true love in God, it's your will, your emotions, everything together. Come. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm done. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand and pray as we close. Father God, I thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. I pray that your word has been released to the people. I pray that Holy Spirit, only you can take us through and teach us to become the doers of the word, that we walk in truth in all the days of our lives. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every man, every woman, and every children. Hallelujah. You know, God reminded me of one thing that I want to share with you. Jesus kept quiet because he was truth. But one thing he did for us in public was he died for us in public. Yeah. Jesus didn't find a shady jungle somewhere hidden from public and they crucified him in private. No, he hung in public, naked in public. That's why when you make choices for God, you make it in public. Amen? True repentance, true walking before God must be in public. People must see and know. Christianity is not some pretend lifestyle. Jesus didn't pretend to die on the cross. He died in public. The painters painted him as somebody with a cloth hanging down there, but he was naked before men. He died in public. That's when you make your decision to give your heart to Jesus, you do it in public. If there's an altar call, you come in public and you do it in public. It's not for nobody to know what your life is. Only God knows your life. But you are being true and honest before God. Not to me, to God. I am just a messenger from. As they always say, don't shoot the messenger. I speak what God says for me to speak. Amen? That's why I encourage you people in this church, or my family, do things in public. If there's an altar call, come here. Bow your knees before Him. Sometimes I don't have to pray for you. You come yourself and say, God, I just between you and me. Me and you. I don't have to come and know what your problem is. He knows already. You just have to come before Him and say, God, I've got some stuff I need to get rid of. Do things in public before men. Because it shows. See, it's easy to go and pretend to be a Christian before people that do not know you. But it's hard to do it before people that know you. That's why integrity is doing the right thing when no one's watching. Hallelujah. And that's the only thing I care for this church, is that we walk in truth, in holiness and righteousness before God, and we represent God properly before men. Hallelujah. Every time I talk about this, I get... Thank you, Jesus. We don't have long in this world. We don't know how long we're going to live. Only God knows the times that He has set for us. When you're here, complete and fulfill everything that He has called for you to do. Your purpose is to complete His will. That His will be done on earth through you. Your will that He gave you to choose from right or wrong or to do things, that's the will that you used to do, His will. He gave it to you. That's the most powerful thing. He gave it to you, and He doesn't control that. Yes. God never controls your will. It's yours. And that's why choices are so important for us to make. Yes. I cannot change you. It's your choice to make the change. It's your choice to say, God, I'm going to do this, and this is it. From now, I cut everything off, and I'm going to walk before you openly, holiness and righteousness. Let me just explain that to you. Holiness is not trying to put a big cross and a turban and a long robe and walk holy. And act. You can't act any of that. No. Holiness is you. What you say is what you are. That's right. That's why God says, I am God. There is no other God like me. I am. What I say is law. And I am one with my word. Yeah. That's holiness. Yeah. That's righteousness. You are right in line with what you say you are. I am interested in that more than anything else. I'm not here to give you some nice message to make you feel good. I'm not here to give you goose pimples or nothing. We give you truth and the principles of the Word of God. You go and apply it in your life and walk in it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I speak your word over your people today. Yeah. I just wanted to worship for a little while, and then I'll let you go because I want the Holy Ghost to deal with your life. Father God, we stand before you as before Pastor Papi brought the word. And we kneel before you, Lord, in truth, in worship. Father, today we thank you that your people here today, you know them by more than I do. I don't know their lives. I don't know what they have gone through. I don't know where they've come from. I don't know how they were conceived. But Lord, I know for one thing, that your word says in Jeremiah 1:5, and I stand on that word every time, that everyone is, one of them have a purpose and meaning in life. Because you said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Even before our parents thought about us and our family planning even thought about us, oh God. You created our spirit and knew who we were. And you brought us forth, oh God. Doesn't matter how we were conceived. It is how we finish the work that you placed us here. It is how we live our lives, oh God, before you. Because you gave us breath and you gave us strength. You gave us everything. Blessed us with so many things. Life is such a great blessing to us, Papa God, because we're breathing and living and healthy and walking today, and you're preserving us. And I pray, Father, that each and every person will fulfill your calling, Father, in their life. Let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven through the power that you've already given us. the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you. I pray that you will work in your people's heart today. Holy Spirit, you yet save lo olga da one one in stop itself, Lord, is la building today. So I'm ilusim lo han blue you, because power blue you and can sense him man. Only you can change a man. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory. Let's worship and then we close. Hallelujah.